Welcome to Risky Business News, our 3 times per week cybersecurity news podcast. This is Catalin Campano, and this week our shows are sponsored by Proofpoint. In today's news, Joshua Schulte, the former CIA employee who leaked the Vault 7 files to WikiLeaks, was found guilty on all counts following a retrial. The second jury reached the same conclusion as the first, that Schulte leaked documentation files that exposed some of the CIA's hacking tools. Schulte, who represented himself, claimed to the end that he was made a scapegoat by US authorities, even if extensive and multiple reports portrayed him as hard-headed, egocentrical, and self-entitled. A sentencing date in Schulte's case was not set, as he is also on trial in a separate case for child pornography possession and transport charges. In Data Breach news, Bandai Namco, the Japanese gaming company behind the hit game Elden Ring, confirmed this week that they were hacked. The company's admission comes after the Alpha V ransomware gang listed the company on its leak site earlier this week. Another company who confirmed it was hacked this week is the online lending platform LendingTree, which formally disclosed the security breach almost a month after a threat actor dumped the details of more than 200,000 users on an underground cybercrime forum. Leaked details included extremely sensitive information like customer names, physical addresses, phone numbers, emails, IP addresses, credit scores, and various loan application details. After initially denying the reports of a hack, in a letter filed with the California Office of Attorney General, the company finally came clean and said the breach occurred because of a vulnerability on its website that it has now patched. LendingTree is also currently facing a class action lawsuit following the breach and its slow response. In tech-related news, Microsoft has officially open-sourced this week its Salus app, an internal tool the company has used for the past months to generate software bill of materials for internal projects. SBOM files are a list of libraries used inside the software application. They allow companies to track if an app uses third-party code and are incredibly useful when a vulnerability in these third-party libraries are disclosed, as it allows the company to easily identify which of its own apps are impacted. Also in Microsoft news, the company has also added this week support for the DNS over TLS protocol for Windows Insiders users. The DNS over TLS protocol works by encrypting DNS queries and is different from DNS over HTTPS, as encrypted DNS queries go out over their own port instead of being disguised inside HTTPS traffic. In government-related news, facial recognition software company Clearview AI was fined 20 million euros by the Greek Data Protection Authority. This is the third fine received by the company in Europe after receiving a £7.5 million fine in the UK and another €20 million fine in Italy. The fine was imposed because the company collected social media images of Greek citizens without their express approval. Also in policy-related news, the Russian government is working on a law that will impose turnover-based fines on companies that suffer data breaches that expose the personal information of Russian citizens. Currently, companies in Russia that suffer a data breach that exposes personal user data face small fines of 500,000 rubles, which is around only $8,500, but if the new proposed bill passes, fines will be calculated as a percentage of a company's revenue. In US government-related news, 2 Democrat senators have asked the FTC to look into the deceptive practices of VPN companies. The 2 senators want the FTC to look at how VPN companies use false or misleading claims about user anonymity in their ads, how they sell user traffic data to third parties, and if the VPN companies disclose when they share user data with law enforcement agencies. Also in US government news, the DHS Cyber Safety Review Board published its first ever report on Thursday. In its report, the board concluded that the Log4j vulnerability that was disclosed last year will pose lingering issues to US organizations for years to come. To deal with future problems caused by a vulnerability in a popular open source library, the board issued 19 recommendations, such as the implementation of software bill of materials schemes and increasing investment in open source programs, many of which are the core of many government and private sector networks. And in some weird government-related news, several Iranian users reported on Wednesday that Iranian internet service providers started replying to DNS queries for the main Google domain with Google Safe Search URL. The ability to force users into safe search results is a known feature of the Google search engine, which the company provides to educational and corporate entities. This was the second time the Iranian government has done this, and it's unclear what was the purpose of this DNS redirection. In cybercrime and threat intelligence news, Cloudflare said on Thursday that a botnet named Mantis was responsible for the record-breaking DDoS attack the company mitigated last month. Cloudflare says the Mantis botnet is an evolution of the older Meris botnet, but unlike its predecessor, Mantis can also infect a wider range of devices and not just MikroTik routers. Cloudflare estimated the current size of the Mantis botnet at only 5,000 bots, meaning the botnet can pack a strong punch even for a small base. In other cybercrime-related news, Microsoft said that it found evidence to link the operators of the Holy Ghost ransomware to a group of North Korean hackers it tracks as Dev0530. Microsoft said it saw the group deploy its payload on the networks of small businesses in multiple countries since June 2021. This is not the first time that North Korean hackers have been linked to ransomware operations, after they've also been linked to strains like WannaCry, VHD, T-Flower, Beef, ZZZ, Chi-Chi, and Maui. Also in ransomware-related news, according to reports from CyberInt and Digital Shadows, the LogBit ransomware gang has continued to dominate the ransomware landscape in the second quarter of 2022, accounting for more than a quarter of all victims. Continuing with ransomware news, while CloudSec also published a first report on the new Blue Sky ransomware, which some have linked to the old Conti gang, a more interesting report comes from the Sequoia team on the Vice Society gang. Sequoia said the Vice Society threat actor carries out ransomware attacks with ransomware rented from other groups, uses its own leaked site for data extortion, and that based on current evidence, the group's members appear to be English native speakers. In malware-related news, Avina security researcher Maximin Grau discovered this week 8 applications uploaded on the official Google Play Store that contained a new Android malware strain named Autolycos. Grau said the apps were downloaded more than 3 million times and that the main purpose of the Autolycos malware was to secretly subscribe infected users to various premium services and generate a profit for the threat actor. According to Grau, the malware family originated in South Africa and is now proliferating in Nigeria. In APT and cyber espionage news, Chinese infosec firm Anti Group has published a report on a recent campaign of the Confucius APT that targeted Pakistani government and military institutions. Past reporting has found links between Confucius and Patchwork, a well-known Indian threat actor. In a different report, security firm Checkpoint also said it found evidence suggesting that Pakistan's Air Force headquarters was a victim of a successful attack conducted by Sandwinder, another suspected Indian-based threat actor. According to the security firm, the compromise allegedly took place in May 2022. Coincidentally, both reports came on the same week when Cisco Talos published a report on recent attacks carried out by Transparent Tribe, a Pakistani APT that has been targeting Indian educational institutions, showing that these two countries continue to hack each other with no respite. Moving on to vulnerability-related news, asset security researcher Martin Smoller has discovered 3 buffer overflow vulnerabilities in the UEFI firmware of Lenovo notebooks. The vulnerabilities allow threat actors to hijack the boot sequence and take over the device's operating systems. More than 70 Lenovo models are impacted, and the Chinese vendor has released patches this week. In other news, Japanese carmaker Honda said it plans to redesign the key fob technology used in its vehicles to address a recently disclosed vulnerability known as Rolling Pawn. Disclosed last week, the vulnerability can be used to unlock and start the engines of all Honda cars made since 2012. Also in vulnerability news, a team of academics from the New Jersey Institute of Technology published details this week about a new de-anonymization attack that targets web browsers and can disclose past sites a user has visited. The gist of the research is that a threat actor who manages to lure a victim to a malicious site can link their IP addresses with details such as usernames or emails used on popular websites the victims are currently still logged in. The research team said the attack works because researchers pull data from the user's CPU cache and not the browser cache, and by doing so, they are bypassing many browser-level isolation mechanisms, which would normally stop the attack. The NGIT team said they tested the attack on both desktop and mobile browsers running on various CPU microarchitectures, different browser engines, different operating systems, and with multiple web services. The attack even worked against the secure Tor browser. This concludes the news portion of our podcast. In our sponsored section, Shero De Grippo, Proofpoint's Vice President of Threat Research and Detection, is here to talk about the company's latest report, which details recent APT campaigns against journalists and the media sector. Probably the biggest discovery in Proofpoint's latest report was the revelation that Chinese state-sponsored hackers suddenly shifted their targeting from diplomatic targets to White House and Washington DC correspondents just days ahead of the January 6 insurrection. More from Sherrod.
This week we've got a really great piece of in-depth threat research and analysis from our APT team focusing on various APT groups around the world targeting journalists and those who work in the media. We examined data starting in early 2021, and we found a sustained continued effort by worldwide APT actors targeting journalists and people with media backgrounds, media personality in a variety of campaigns. And a lot of those were timed around really sensitive political events in the United States. Something really interesting that we noticed in January and February of 2021 is that there were five campaigns from TA412 that targeted US-based journalists, specifically those covering politics and national security. Of course, we all know what happened January 6th. And prior, in the days prior to January 6th, we actually saw an increase in reconnaissance phishing against those same targets right before the January 6th attack on the Capitol. TA412 is a China-based actor, and they use subject lines in those emails such as jobless benefits run out as Trump resists signing relief bill, U.S. issues Russia threat to China, and Trump call to Georgia official might violate state and federal law. Now, those subject lines are direct copy-paste from news headlines, but it's interesting that a China-based actor was sending those to U.S.-based news media correspondents a couple of days leading up to January 6th. Interestingly, in early 2022, there was a little bit of a reduction in the amount of targeting of journalists, but that resumed early February 2022, and it was a significant number of campaigns over about 10 days. They really were similar to the ones that we saw in 2021, but this time they used the Russia-Ukraine focus when that was suspected to start getting really hot. Things like new bill aims to prohibit U.S. military aid to Ukraine, U.S. issues Russia threat to China, Macron reveals Putin guarantees. So we saw a lot of focus on hot topics. And of course, when we're talking about credential phishing and leveraging email as a means to do attacks with an APT actor, focusing on the social engineering aspect is really, really important. The threat actor groups want their target to click. That's the most important thing. They've got to get them to open that email and take whatever action that the threat actor needs them to do in order to complete the campaign and continue that attack.
But Proofpoint also found that APTs from other countries also have a habit of targeting journalists and not just Chinese groups.
So let's talk a little bit about North Korea. They usually have quite a bit of a different profile and focus from some of the other APT groups that we track. So North Korea-aligned TA-404 early this year went after U.S.-based media organizations with job opportunity-themed phishing. And interestingly, that attack occurred right after the organization published an article critical of Kim Jong-un. So we're seeing North Korea really focused on headlines, media, trying to shift some of the narratives and go after people who are publishing articles that are critical of them. And we see this actually out of North Korea pretty frequently. This particular campaign from North Korea leveraged URLs claiming to be job postings and job offers. And if the victim interacted with the URL, they got a unique target ID and they received confirmation that their email was delivered. Obviously, there were not jobs to be had behind that, but if a lot of people remember in early 2022, we saw a significant amount of media shuffling, layoffs, mergers, etc. And so the North Korean actor probably is taking advantage of the fact that a lot of those jobs in journalism and media move around. People change jobs a lot. And when you publish something critical of Kim Jong-un, they want to know what you're doing and where you're going. And finally, something that a lot of people, even not in the media, were receiving and saw kind of moving around in early 2022 is a threat actor from Turkey, TA-482, which does a lot of credential harvesting campaigns leveraging Twitter, trying to get Twitter credentials and sending fake we noticed a login from your account for a new device. Was this you? And trying to get people to interact and reset and input their passwords into a fake landing site. So anyone that writes for media publications, journalists from news outlets, anyone that has a significant following on Twitter that's associated with media, those Twitter security themed emails were dropping in their inboxes pretty heavily. Once you click on that, you go to a landing page, put in your password, and of course the threat actor now has the password there. So it's interesting that the APT groups are not only looking at traditional media like newspapers, television, etc., but they're focusing on things like Twitter credentials to try and understand what those large following personalities are doing and trying to get their passwords to get into those accounts. We've also seen this kind of activity from Iran, Russia. All of the major APT actors that we track typically are targeting journalists and people in the media. We'll be putting out a full report on this later this week, so check out the Proofpoint Threat Insight blog to see the entire fantastic write-up that goes through a just nonstop carousel roller coaster of the APT activity that we've seen against journalists and personalities in the media. Take a look at that. Make sure you're protecting yourself. Turn on two-factor. Change your password. Have a little security time on your accounts.
This is it for today's show. You can subscribe to this podcast by going to risky.biz and to our newsletter by going to riskybiznews.substack.com.